Good afternoon. It is a Thursday, July the 19th, 2018. 7:19, 18, 16 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Now program. Scott Spears along with you for the ride. Want to do a little bit of housekeeping here before we get to our first guest, who is one of my favorite guests. We were supposed to have legendary comedian Shecky Green on in hour number two today. Waiting for an answer on that. That might not happen today. There might have been a scheduling conflict. And if there was, we will reschedule and have Shecky Green on, one of our favorite guests, next week. So stay tuned. But if we do not have Shecky Green on today, we have a whole slew of new trivia questions for you, the listening audience, and we have some interesting trivia questions on Florence Harding that we've added today that probably have never been talked about. So we'll all learn together, we'll all answer questions, and we'll all win some prizes, so stay tuned to the program. But our first guest is one of my favorite guests, and no better week to have him on than the week we are all living through right now. Now let me get my paper here and read this. Because it's very fascinating. Since 2016, multiple media outlets have suggested that the president is a victim, sleeper agent, a la the Manchurian candidate. Recently, Curtis Silva, and Rita Cosby on their WABC afternoon radio show had a heated discussion with Curtis espousing the idea that the president was part of a Manchurian candidate scenario. He insisted that the president was a sleeper agent. Rita Cosby disagreed and insisted that it would have to be Kreskin holding the Queen of Diamonds in order to hypnotize him into that role. Kreskin does not believe for one moment that President Trump is involved with a Manchurian candidate scenario. However, since the radio show, Kreskin is being frequently asked, could he influence a person after showing them the Queen of Diamonds? His answer is very simply, yes. And he's ready to demonstrate it to the world. Holy mackerel, what a story that is. And the only person who can talk about that is one of our favorite guests. He was a favorite of Johnny Carson, a favorite of Sally Jesse Raphael, and a whole lot of others in between. And he's a favorite of mine, one of our regulars, and we're so glad to call him that, world-famous mentalist, the amazing Kreskin. Kreskin, holy moly, what a scenario.
I love that. I love your quoting, borrowing from Superman and maybe even Captain Marvel with the holy moly. I love those remarks. It is so good to talk to you. Did you mention, Scott, by the way, Scott, there's been a little bit of trouble with our phone system here. Can you and your listeners hear me clearly at this point?
I can hear, maybe just a little louder, but I can hear you well.
All right, because I'm not home, I'm traveling, but and I'm not out of the country in spite of the rumors that I'm on in Athens or on Mars. No, I never made it that far. Did you mention, or maybe I misheard you, the name Florence Harvey, did that come up as a name a moment ago or not?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, okay. Because he was in the movie the Manchurian Candidate. I thought maybe I misheard him. What have I got to tell you, Scott? This is really crazy. As you know, and boy, what a perfect time. By the way, did I hear you were saying that you had trivia questions? You collect them and bring them up on the air for the listeners and so forth.
I do that. Yes,
I think that is the neatest thing because it widens our scope. It widens our scope of thinking. There's humor involved, and also there's challenging to one's thinking, and also there's creativity in how to answer some of these. And if more and more young people played these kind of trivia games, I think it would add a little bit of light in their lives, if you know what I'm talking about, Scott.
I certainly do, and we all learn together things we would never look up.
That's right. That's right. Things you would never look up, but it's interesting how people handle them. Now I got to tell you, what's crazy about this whole scenario. Who would have dreamt? Now, let's face it, the president has been highly controversial. But let's not also forget history, because I think, and now some of the researchers are bringing it up, and some of the reporters that were on the air in those days are, we need to examine the period of John F. Kennedy when he was in the White House, because he had a period there where he was scathed by different groups and what have you. But, of course, we tend to forget that, because one of the great lessons, one of the most important lessons, if I were teaching in a university today or in a high school, what have you, would be to teach one important thing about history, is that we are extraordinarily skillful as human beings in forgetting history. And that, unfortunately, is going to become a rule on and on. And, of course, the great lesson about forgetting history is that, as you've heard many times and we've heard through the years, the problem is when we forget history, we tend to relive it. And you know what I mean, Scott. We won't give any examples there, what have you. However, I think it's interesting. And by the way, I don't mean this as criticism of of reporters and what have you, because some very major newspapers and magazines since the 2016, believe it or not, in these 2 years, have referred to Trump and referred in the same breath to the Manchurian candidate and so forth. And for those of you who have not, did you see the movie years ago, Scott, the Manchurian candidate?
I did. Angela Lansbury, great movie.
Yeah, it was. Now, there were two versions. By the way, folks, if you're going to go to the trouble of looking at and look in on it, it's very brilliantly put together. And Sinatra bought the rights to the movie latter part of his life. And no, he did not ban the movie. He did not ban the movie from being seen when the Kennedy assassination took place. That was a rumor that was played around with and what have you. But at the same time, what's interesting is that the movie came at a time when he had a figure in public politics by the name of Senator Joseph McCarthy. Do you remember Senator Joseph McCarthy?
Absolutely, the Red Scare.
Yeah, and it was the period of Red Scare, where Senator McCarthy, who had this remarkable service record in the armed services, when he was as a senator, accusing various people of having communist associations and so forth in the past. Oh, by the way, those of you that did not do the follow-up research, it finally came to light in the latter years of Senator McCarthy's life that the stories he told about his heroic deeds were absolutely false. He had made them up. But this is, you know, you can't criticize entertainers for doing things like that, nor politicians or members of the underworld, because it seems like they all work in the same way at times. I'm being sarcastic, but it's now pretty much known. And he had a young man, by the way, who was his lawyer advisor until that famous incident that took place in Congress, which destroyed Senator McCarthy's life in about 20 minutes, about the gentleman who he brought to light that the Army had hired, that when he was in college, had become a member of the Communist Party. And Senator Joseph Welch, one of the most dramatic scenes, it's been in movies and what have you, turned to Senator McCarthy because Welch was defending the Army and McCarthy was accusing the Army of being involved in communist aficionado and other things. And Senator McCarthy came forward and said, you know, we have evidence that this young man working for you was, when he was in college, had become a member of the Communist Party. And one of the most brilliant strategic moves I've ever seen in my life in public presentations and what have you. When McCarthy finished, he turned to Joseph McCarthy, the Welch, the lawyer, and said a simple phrase, "Senator McCarthy, have you no sense of decency? A man that may have made a mistake in college and obviously has gone on, and that ended his career everywhere except for a handful that were, you know, in sleeping with him or what have you, because he just went too far." Isn't it interesting how a scenario like that can change things? in one fell swoop with the right timing. You know what I mean, Scott?
I do. Well, you know, and I want to bring this up, and I just want to say this.
By the way, excuse me for interrupting. I'm not getting into that. I'm certainly against communism and what have you. Please don't misunderstand you. But this is an interesting study of mass communication. You know what I mean?
Oh, it certainly is. And I just want to say this, and this is just a perspective of what has happened this week. And it's hard to believe this has all happened in 4 days.
Four days.
But here's the issue that I have, because this kind of struck me this morning. Trump met with Putin. You know, other presidents have met with Putin. Obama did. George W. Bush did. But the problem here is that when we let's go back to Kennedy for a second. Kennedy was back channeling with Khrushchev to try to end the Cold War by the end of Kennedy's presidency. Unfortunately, Kennedy was assassinated, so that didn't happen. But they were back channeling during the Cuban Missile Crisis. Joseph Stalin. Obviously, we worked with Stalin during World War II. We had to overthrow Hitler, and it ended bad for us because the Russians got much more land than we would have liked them to have had, which kicked off the Cold War. But we did work with Stalin during that time. There are pictures. The problem with this particular situation is that it was done publicly. There was a private meeting. We saw what everybody said. We saw how they said it. This is how we get into this Manchurian candidate thing and conversations this week. And there seems to be no reason. Now, I know why we were dealing with Stalin in World War II. We needed him. I know why we were dealing with Khrushchev during the Cuban Missile Crisis. We didn't want to get blown up, and he didn't want to get blown up. What I don't understand about this is we know the intelligence, and we know what President Trump said, but yet the next day he said the wrong thing. So that's why this is all very confusing. Because this morning, the first thing I saw on Facebook was the picture of Roosevelt and Churchill and Stalin, and they said, well, this was the first Russian collusion. Well, no. Congress knew that was going on. They knew we were in bed with Stalin. There was no secret. Stalin didn't help Roosevelt do anything except win the war. But see, people have conflated this. It's very strange.
Well, this is our skill today. This is the skill. We have a very serious problem in our culture today, and I've written about it in one case. My remarks are sealed for 50 years in a steel case in a library here in town, but that's another thing in which I predict three countries that will no longer exist. But that's not the point. We have a very serious problem today, and I predicted this in my last book some years ago. I'm writing a new book now. We have constant, immediate, endless, super energetic communications, and the inevitable is taking place. It is out of control. When you now have 3,200 radio or TV stations that deliver the news, you're going to have misnews taking place. You're going to have people misquoting the news. You can't sue. I can't sue the people that say things about me on the internet, because as lawyers say, Kresge, you'd be spending the next 4 years doing scores and scores of lawsuits. Yes, we wish we could sue, but it's no longer possible. It is just so out of control that the news can be shaded. And the other problem is this. I'm not scathing the networks that give out news, because news is important, and it's wonderful that we have 24-hour news. But time has to be filled. And sometimes to fill time, years ago a newspaper had another section of the newspaper which was less important, news and what have you. But they're competing with each other constantly. And then you have a major other crisis, which we don't have the answer to right now. People are mishearing what they hear, because our attention span has dropped considerably in the last 10, 15 years. You can ask sociologists about this. Don't simply ask me about this. People coming out of college don't even know how to write a paragraph, because they're used to quick answers. And consequently, they're not able to step away, turn off the damn TV, or close the newspaper and reflect upon what they just saw. They're used to something else. So we are now having a hodgepodge. And I've talked to endless reporters in broadcasting who've told me confidentially, Kreskin, I don't know what the hell to do, because I know the news that's being broadcast, it's not that by the time it's told to someone else, it's changed already, and another station has altered it. So we're not hearing things clearly as we once did. Now, in the case, by the way, of, and I was going to mention it, in the case of the Second World War, yes. Yes, it was very, very clear that, and this is part of history, that England was going to go down, and it was very clear that Hitler could take over England easily by just walking into England with his men, and he would have taken it completely. The blessing was that Churchill, who his people never listened to him. If you read, I've read over, I don't know how many thousands of pages of Churchill, and some of the warnings he gave his people before the war took place were not paid attention to because he wasn't popular then. He wasn't known then until the war hit, and then, of course, he led it. But he bonded with Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and he made a statement when the war, early in his coming, he says, if I have to make a treaties with the devil, I will make a treaties with the devil. And that's when he turned to Joseph Stalin, and thank God he did, because Stalin helped us destroy Adolf Hitler. And that was the thing. I have pathways here in Texas. They're already grown up. They're already grown with shrubbery. But I was shown them. Already there are pathways into Texas where the Nazis were going to march in as they took over different parts of the world. Because even in major halls in New York City, before Japan bombed, there were meetings of the Nazis, because there were thousands of supporters of the Nazi party, and they were already, one of the plans was to take over the United States. So it was one of the, yes, we made a pact with Stalin to fight Hitler, and thank God we did. And the other great move was on the part of Harry S. Truman, who had this, otherwise my uncles would have had to march into Japan, and they were ready to give the rifles and guns to the children if the others had hit. So we have to learn about history. You say, well, they had a pact with so-and-so and what have you. Now, with the period of the Cold War, and with Joseph McCarthy, you know, fusing people, right? Some of the finest writers in television and the movie industry, I don't have their names in front of me, wrote movies, but under other names, because there were such actors and so forth were so sympathetic. They knew these people were not communists, but they had different ways of looking at things that may have shaded some communist thinking, and were completely banned. McCarthy destroyed many, many people who could not work publicly for many, many years. So that's when the Manchurian Candidate came along. By the way, the case of the Manchurian Candidate, let's have the picture straight. It was a group of servicemen who were captured, I don't know, by the Koreans, but that was where the Russians were involved. And this hypnotist on stage, who was a scientist in front of Russian officials, hypnotized them and caused one of them to murder two of their other partners who had been captured because they were Americans. And they murdered them on stage. And then, as one person was given a post-hypnotic suggestion, that whenever he was shown the Queen of Diamonds, from then on, he would respond to the suggestion given him. And as a result of this, his mother, when he went back to the United States as a hero, his mother was Angela Lansbury, who came up for an Academy Award. And she's considered playing one of the best villains in movie history, one of the 25 best villains ever played in movie history. And all she did was quietly show the Queen of Diamonds to, I'm not sure if it was Lawrence Harvey, I think it was him. But then that's when he went into a hypnotic state and committed crime. So you can understand, and I'm being called all over the place because they're comparing what's going on now with a number of people under the influence, a la the Manchurian Candidate. By the way, I do have a number of Queen of Diamonds here, and folks, I want to promise you, if I walk on the air with Scott, and you hear him slowly talk in a different tone of voice and quietly, I may have just shown him a playing card from a deck. Scott. Just keep that in mind, Scott.
Oh, my. Well, this is the thing, Kristen.
Can I tell you, Scott? Can I tell you what one of the things I don't mean to interrupt you like this. I forgive me. One of the things I plan to do on a TV show is, and by the way, no, I cannot make people commit heinous acts. No, do I believe that people are conditioned? No. And furthermore, if they were conditioned, God, that by the time they came to the United States, all the suggestions would have worn off and taken it. But it was a great idea for a story. But to show you how, under certain situations, because I have talked about for a number of years the power of suggestion and how right now people can be influenced massively because of the internet and what have you. All I plan to do on some TV show is to talk about this and put it, would it be possible to influence a person, and just the first I'm talking to, lift up the Queen of Diamonds and show it to them and let the host of the show ask them how they feel about it, except that there may be an interesting problem. That person in 30 seconds may have become paralyzed and incapable of speaking for the next 5 or 10 minutes.
So it can be done.
Yes, I can do it, but it isn't the Queen of Diamonds, and I can influence, but I'm not influencing person in a deleterious way. I think if I suggested to them that they go out and steal or do something like that, you would probably the next day, and I know Scott how he feels about me, say, isn't it a shame that Kreskin was murdered by 12 people who were angry? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding, Scott. We'll move on from there. But suggestion's a powerful force, but not that it's could be influenced someone over a period that they're involved in a large political picture. No, I don't feel that's fine. And I don't feel that criminal things can be created in that way, because people are not in a trance. They're conscious, but they can be influenced by the power of suggestion. And the proof of that was, the classic proof of that was, as Orson Welles said to me, he said, Kreskin, if you did this today, it would probably take on a more massive scale. Just remember that in 1938, when Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy were on the air as the biggest Sunday night radio show, and everybody listened to it, except that night he had an opera singer on as one of his guests. And I loved Edgar Bergen, and I thought Charlie McCarthy and Mortimer Sterner were real. That's how real Edgar Bergen made them. But he used to have famous people from movies on, and it was a person who sung in movies, an opera singer, but also acted. And evidently, some of the people turned off the Charlie McCarthy show and turned on to a show that nobody was listening to, nobody was paying attention to. It was a CBS show on the radio. And Orson Welles each week did a dramatic presentation. And this week he was doing War of the Worlds. Except when the people turned it on, the show had already started. And you heard these news people in New Jersey covering some landing on some remote town in New Jersey. And they were interrupted. And then when they stopped, they said, well, come back, and as we get closer to the scene, tell you more about it. And the show went to music, because we forget the 1930s and 40s. Many, many radio stations throughout the United States, including networks, had afternoon and evening shows that were taking place at a nightclub, and a band played music from time to time, and then they interviewed or interviewed someone else. And you heard, when you turned the station from the Charlie McCarthy show, you suddenly heard music, and people were nervous and what have you. And then we saw something happen, because my father was getting a haircut that night on Roseland Avenue in Caldwell, New Jersey, and visiting his barber, who said, George, we're close friends. Why don't you come in and get a haircut now? I'm not working, then the place is closed, and we'll talk about things. And my father recounted to me something that was reported in thousands of reports, newspapers all over the country. the barber said, George, I don't know what the hell's going on. My father said, what do you mean? He turned the chair and says, look out the window. It was nighttime. It was after 8 o'clock. And they saw cars going down the street on Roseland Avenue, which is a private street. Some of them opened trucks that had people standing there with mattresses and other things going. And the barber says, what the hell is going on? Well, those people had turned on the War of the Worlds in the middle of the show and never stayed long enough to the end of it when they heard newspaper men reporting this landing of something in New Jersey. Panic ensued, and they did not hear the beginning of the show because they were listening to Edgar Bergen, and they never stayed to hear the end. And that's why you had thousands of incidents of people driving in cars with mattresses in parts of the United States.
Mm. Well, this being said,
so it shows you how panic can be created in a very contrived situation.
Which brings us to the question.
By the way, one more thing I need to share with all of you. In talking to Orson Welles, and the next day, he was banned from ever again, and most radio stations were not allowed to do a play for decades in which it was covered live by the news and interrupted because of what happened then. So I was sitting with Orson Welles in England. He had come to one of my performances. He was living in England part of the time. He was a fan of mine. I said, Orson, we've met many times. Would you level with me right now? Did you have any idea that this was going to take place? I saw the interviews with you. I read the interviews, how you were surprised, and thank God nothing deleterious happened. I said, were you aware? And there was silence. I said, Orson, please tell me. It's many years later. He said, Creskin, when all the people at CBS were getting these calls, the operators, because they were not recorded calls, they were live, they had only live coverage, they didn't know what to do. So they tried to call heads of CBS, and a man living in New York got a cab to the CBS station, walked in and saw all these people answering and saying, we don't know what to say, there's a radio show on right now, and people are calling and saying, what's going on? And he decided to go upstairs and have Orson Welles interrupt the show and say, this is nothing but a radio show. And he went up to the stairs, and he went up to the station, and he went up to the room in which the show was being broadcast. Can you hear me at this point clearly, Scott?
Yes.
Orson Welles said to me, Creskin, I had the doors locked until the end of the show.
Oh.
I said, Orson, you are a genius. And that's something people don't know about.
Oh, that's very interesting. So he knew what was going on.
He sensed that it could cause, he never dreamt it would go to this point. But he wanted to, he had a feeling that dramatizing it in this way, it would be an interesting response. So the doors were locked until the show ended.
Oh,
and
that's...
I end up having a commentary. So, you know, panic can be created and so forth. But as far as the Manchurian candidate, no, I don't think there's anybody that's been in a trance or going to be given some praise or what have you and suddenly responded and have memory altered and what have you. No. What we don't know about, and I'm very, very, very familiar with this, is in after the Cold War and what have you, research was done in Washington, D.C. by some of the Secret Service regarding hypnotic techniques and altering people's minds and changing their impressions of things and so forth. And there was a great deal of research being done. I happen to know some of the people involved in it. It was remarkable in many, many ways. It was remarkable in the lack of success and the lack of credibility that they felt that this had as a potential threat, that you could brainwash someone and condition them so that they could go into other areas and completely have false memories that are controlling their life. The research was not successful. That has not been made public, I'm sorry to say.
Mm. Well, that being said, Creskin, you are now saying that you are going to prove this. Now, have any TV...
I'm going to prove the power of suggestion.
The power of suggestion, right.
I'm not going to prove that the Manchurian candidate phenomena can be created, because that's over a long-range period that's going to change people's behavior and their attitude when they go into another setting and what have you. But I'm going to show that the incident that happened in the movie regarding the suddenly response to the Queen of Diamonds is possible. Some people under certain conditions could create that response, but as far as it lasting a few hours later and so forth, no, I'm not advocating that.
So,
however, if it's possible, folks, don't be surprised if a certain gentleman whose initials are SS goes on the air and starts selling a product that Kreskin is pulling out for a that's a large amount of money, and it's sound. No, I.
Oh my
God! Please understand, I'm joking.
No, Kreskin.
God, if we in this day and age can't laugh at ourselves, we're in damn trouble, and I mean damn trouble.
You're exactly right, but I do have two questions here of the things
you've said. I won't talk much more anymore. I'm sorry, Scott.
No, you're
good. With you.
You're doing fine. And here's question number one. You started this interview by talking about it's locked away for 50 years. There will be three countries that will no longer exist in 50 years. Now, obviously...
Well, actually, Scott, they will not exist in the next 10 years.
Oh, 10 years.
And I'm not... Yes, so they're smaller countries. But, I just want to level with you because... It's a library that I, in my childhood, I visited because it was only a block from my house. And the reason they made a special meeting of me at it is because they were celebrating their 100th anniversary. And I, as a young man in grade school, all the way up to seventh grade, when I came home from school, and I loved to go out and play, but when I came home from school for the next 2 hours, I went into the library and read. And by the time I was in seventh grade, and the teachers that were, well, some of the librarians are no longer with us anymore, but they talked about it through the years. By the time I was in seventh grade, Scott, I read every single solitary book in the children's library. That was a few thousand books. So the library became an important part of my life.
Absolutely. Well, let me say this. Of those countries that won't be around in 10 years, are they familiar countries?
Yes.
We would know them.
Yes.
We would know them.
And I don't want to play... No, I'm not suggesting... please understand, I'm not suggesting the United States or England or what have you. But I want to... Scott, I want to give a hint of... And by the way, the reason I'm not mentioning countries and so forth, I think you understand this. Some of the predictions, and when I predicted elections and what have you, I've never made them public until the elections are over. They've been sealed away by, in one case, NBC, what have you. Because I tell you, Scott, the way things are going today, you're going to, a person's going to be blamed for predicting something. Well, they're really supporting this. This is what they're behind and so forth. And that's not my purpose, Scott. God is my judge. I'm not playing politics. I want people to know that I'm not a Republican, and I'm definitely not a Democrat. I'm just an independent thinker, and that's the way I happen to think. And I have the right to think that way. But today, Scott, we're judging people so quickly. And, you know, one of the things that has weakened the United States today, and I just in the past 5 days have been asked by sociologists and some other folks, Kreskin, would you go out and start shouting this and talking about this? Because you've hit one of the keys that's showing the breakdown of our society today. The business now, when we argue and then we hold a maliciousness or we attack and we send an email that's gravely an attack of the person, what have you, and say, well, I won't buy this anymore, I won't listen to you anymore, and all this jazz. One of the first signs of the breakdown of what's happened in our country today is something called the Sunday night meals. I'm not saying whether you're Jewish or a Catholic as I was, and we had the afternoon meal after church and so forth. But almost everyone had, 30, 40, 50 years ago, a Sunday night, or maybe it was a Friday in some case, where the whole family gathered together. The whole family gathered together. Winston Churchill, when England was on the verge of losing the war, saw to it once a week, he sat with his family, his son sat there. Of course, most of the time he talked, but he wanted communication so that they listened to things to be important. We don't have that. No, people who are out of school or not have you, well, they got someone they're going to visit, they're going to go to see a certain movie at that time. But, Scott, there was a time in our history when whether it was children, whether it was newly married people, people gathered together just for that one meal and sat and talked and maybe stayed after. We're not listening to each other as we once did. We're not touching each other as we once did, Scott.
You're right, and this is why this question is so important. This doesn't have to do with the countries, but because of what was brought up on WABC, you know, Manchurian candidate and all that,
yes,
and because of what happened this week, and because you are not a Republican, not a Democrat, you're an independent,
no,
but you're also the guy who's predicted elections, you get it right, and you don't tell until after it happens. But all this week, on all the news channels, and I keep up with it, and all the newspapers,
surely,
there's one question that is being asked about something that would have already happened. Now, I don't need to bring in a team of reporters and commentators. I just need to have you on to answer this, because I know you will know the answer to this. It's not about being a Manchurian candidate. It's, is President Trump compromised in some way by Vladimir Putin? Is there some collusion there?
I have to be very careful in my answer for a number of reasons. First of all, you have to understand that it was one of the thrills of my life. But I, after Stalin went his way, what have you, I was asked a representative of the Russian government came to the United States. Came to one of my performances I won't go to where, but it was sponsored by some of the country music people, and I was at one of the country music person's home, and this lady was there, and she turned out she was from Russia and had booked Roy Clark around Russia. And I said, well, gee, why would she, she's booking, she's no, Roy said to me, she's here, she came here to see your concert. They wanted to have you tour Russia. And it was very exciting because my work, the work that I'm in, was banned in Russia by Stalin, so far, unless it was a Russian performer, because they felt it might cause people to wonder if certain other things are possible and what have you. So I was scheduled to tour Russia. Well, that Christmas Eve, as we sat there in my room here, in my house here, and my secretary and very close friends, my mother was still alive, and we sat there, and my secretary, because every Christmas Eve I have a gathering, and I have four of them every Christmas where we do nothing but sing Christmas music and what have you. And my secretary says, Kreskin, thank God. Thank God the timing is that you're not in Russia right now. The reason I didn't go to Russia had nothing to do with me. It's because a few months or a month before, the Iron Curtain came down. And of course, at that point, when it took place, it caused havoc, as you know, the Russian government collapsed. And all of that took place, and what have you. I would have, along with a number of CBS correspondents, been stuck in Russia and not gotten back for weeks and weeks and weeks without the ability to get to a cell phone and call, because in some of the areas they were in, they couldn't even get messages out, and things were happening all over the place. You know what I mean? So they canceled me, because at that point I was scheduled to go to Russia literally a few weeks after Christmas or what have you. But of course I couldn't go, because now all the visitations were severed and what have you. It would have been an interesting experience. I would love to go back there now today. Now, that does not mean that I'm supporting Russian philosophy and so forth. But I toured, as you know, Saudi Arabia for 5.5 years. And no, I'm not a part of the Muslim movement and so forth. But the American oil companies, which had thousands working, wanted American entertainment. So off and on, I flew to. I think I told you about it, didn't I already? Yeah. And I did not know this, that in my audiences were some members of the Saudi royalty and what have you, because they were interested in what I did. And there's a whole story there I can tell you in the future, but it's a very touching thing when you mention is the president compromised. I don't want to give an answer that's an absolute fact, but when you say is he compromised, you mean a la the Manchurian candidate scenario, is that what you're saying?
No, what I'm saying is, does President Putin have something on him We've all heard speculation what these things could be. That is making him act this way with Putin and not with other people.
I don't feel, and I could be totally wrong, but I don't feel that that's the case right now. And I don't want to be quoted as saying, well, because I know what's going on, it's not the case. But if you really wanted to ask me, if you asked me this a year ago, this past few months, or what's happened now, my feeling is no, that is not the case. But the problem that we've got a serious problem aside from this scenario with the president. We have such a mishmash of communication in our government right now on all the levels in the U.S., whether it be Congress, the Senate, or what have you. But and I got to be careful as I phrase this. I talked to some people who are reporters working in Washington, who some of you folks would know, but and I you have to understand, Scott, if I give my word about something about confidentiality, I keep that the rest of my life unless there's some serious reason otherwise, that's a crime or what have you. Understand that I keep my word. But if you hear them talk to me, they're saying, Kreskin, they don't know God, they don't know what God's name is going on, and they wonder if anybody else really knows. There's such a mishmash of messed up communication. That's all I'm going to. You hear what I just said, Scott? And I've heard that from three people. And I don't mean this week. I mean in the past month, because our communications are immediate, and in some respects, that's what's wrong with things. The communications are immediate. And let me explain to you to what degree I mean this now. Now I'm going to say something that needs to be said. And our time has gone by, and you understand our schedule to half out. But I could talk to you for hours. Germany could have taken over England. President Roosevelt knew it, and one of the most evil persons who ever lived, Adolf Hitler, knew it. But he didn't. He didn't walk into England when he could have, and he would have taken things over. And by the way, the technology he had in his possession, and Einstein warned Hitler about, FDR about it, and thank God he called FDR on the phone. But had the Second World War landed a year longer, I don't know how the war would have ended, because Hitler would have had sophisticated, some massive devices that we weren't prepared to fight. And I'm telling you, we're not prepared to fight. And that'll come out in the times to come, because it's fascinating when you talk to scientists who have gone and looked at the material and so forth. But no, Hitler could have walked into England on the shores and taken over the country. He was bombing every day. And the British at first, without the help of the United States, but then with the help, were bombing Germany two or three times a day. And Hitler was advised by his people, if Churchill has this kind of massive backup, we better not go in, because we're not prepared to handle. And they passed on it. Well, in the 2 years that I visited England every Thursday and came home every Tuesday, because I was doing a television series, The Amazing World of Kreskin, Canada, and they wanted 2 years done from England because my show was seen all over the world. People told me the stories, because I went to London every Thursday, came home every Tuesday. I wanted to spend one day at home in this country, and some of them were people who did it. When the English pilots flew over Germany and bombed and came back early in the day and landed, a number of people ran out onto the airstrip. And when the pilots opened their cockpit and climbed out, the people carried the pilots in their arms into the airport. You heard me. Folks, you've heard me clearly. Because I've talked to a number of people who did it. Yes, they bodily carried the pilot into the airport, sat him down, fed him, let him rest, and carried him back into the plane, so that that pilot often flew over Germany, not once, but two and three times. They wanted them to maintain the energy because they did not have that large an air fleet. That information probably in this day and age would be leaked out all over the place. But the weapon that Churchill thought of having, they managed to keep secret, and it worked.
Kriskin,
you hear what I'm saying,
Scott? I do. And before I let you go, we have 30 seconds left, so I'm just going to ask you this, and you can answer yes or no, however you like. And I'm only asking you this as a friend.
Yeah.
You know, there
yes,
have been a ton of indictments come down the way as of last Friday. Was there collusion between Donald Trump and the Russians?
Secret collusion on his...
Did he know it was going on? Did he know all this was going on that people are being indicted about?
I can't... I've got to answer that in a not a yes or no way, because it's not that I'm saying that he knew, but I can't answer that in a... And please don't think I'm high. I want to answer. We got to continue this. They're not to just maybe in a week or so or 2 weeks. We'll spend some more time on this.
Well, let me say this before
yeah.
we go.
Yes,
it's not a definite no, is what you're saying.
It isn't a no or a yes. It's and I don't mean to say that possibly he does. I don't mean it in that way. It's a little bit more complicated than it sounds, and I have to give you some other events that happened in our country during the time of Kennedy and what have you to explain it. I owe it to do it the right way, Scott. Scott, by the way, we were going to talk in half an hour. Where is this almost hour? I could talk to you for days.
We
Scott.
Did. Well, Kriskin, you are the best, and we will put that on the calendar to have you come
yes.
back and talk, because
Scott,
I tell you.
And Godspeed, Scott. And by the way, as I always say to you, I gotta rush off that because I got five more interviews, then I've got appearances in New York. Scott, from now on, when you think about me, and folks, remind them about this, just remember, I may have in my pocket the Queen of Diamonds. Talk to you soon, Scott.
See you, Kriskin. Bye-bye.
Take care, Scott. Bye-bye.
The amazing Kriskin. How about that? We're coming back with trivia right after this.
254495, webpage crtmechanicals.com. Service for all your air and landscaping needs.